This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Arizona Party Rental and Cool Breeze Air Solutions.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I am finally here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm back. Yes, I am back. Through wind, sleet, rain.
Yeah, we had some very creative people sending in emails about where you might have been.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for that. That was quite humorous. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And you can even subscribe to the Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment.
And Joyousness.
On iTunes. Now, Jeffrey.
Yes, Fred.
We are here celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful.
That is exactly correct, Fred.
And this is like, you know, stuff is going on all the time, right?
Like what? Give us an idea, Fred.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of fun activities going on downtown.
Right.
There's the Tucson Botanical Gardens, Tohono O'Toole, Old Tucson, all these kind of, you know, desert museum, all these places that people can enjoy year-round and have just a ball with.
Well, and you know, the great part about living in the Sonoran Desert is that today, the Sonoran Desert Museum, the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum, looks a lot different than it did 6 months ago.
Why is that?
Well, because all kinds of plants are blooming that weren't blooming 6 months ago.
Ah.
Just like the botanical gardens, when Tian and I went to the butterfly flight event, which was fabulous.
Yeah, did you shake the kids?
No, we didn't, because, you know, it's more of an adult event. So, you know, anywhere where they're, you know, and it ran late,
okay.
But it was fabulous.
But it is that event, well, the I guess there's a specific event for the kickoff. But right now they have all the butterfly magic is going on.
That's right. Well, that was
which is completely family friendly.
That was the kickoff. We went to the kickoff event.
Right, right.
And the botanical garden looks so different today than it did 6 months ago. Again, because different plants bloom at different times of the year.
Well, not only that, but they have that brand new entrance.
But my point that I'm making, Fred,
what is your point, Jeffrey?
Is we live in such a biodiverse area.
Yes.
That you walk out the door and there's always a different plant bloom. Like early in the year, we were talking about the night blooming cirrus. You know, it's just a great, the Sonoran Desert is a great place
to
live.
We went up to Mount Lemmon a couple weeks ago for Oktoberfest up at Ski Valley. And it is just so absolutely gorgeous up there. And, you know, right now, the weather's perfect anywhere you go in this valley. But up there, it's cool. And, you know, we took the ski lift up, hiked around for a little bit, and then took the ski lift down. It's just a great time.
Very cool.
So there is so much going on in this community. Today, Jeff, you and I, allegedly, will be in a cart harassing people at the Cystic Fibrosis Monster Mash and 5K Dash.
We're definitely going to do that.
So that starts at General Benz down on University Boulevard.
Right, right.
Actually starts and ends at General Benz. So that'll be a lot of fun. People can dress up and help support cystic fibrosis.
No, you're not helping support cystic fibrosis. You're helping support find a cure for cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, so
my wonderful and often confused brother Fred.
Well, yeah, and that's true for any of these kind of events, all the cancer runs and this and that. But the Monster Mash and 5K Dash.
Gosh, I missed you.
Will help make CF stand for cure found.
Correct.
So join us. That's this afternoon. Registration is at 4:30. The mini Monster Dash is at 5. The 5K Dash is at 6. And then there's a Monster Mash and costume party at 6. And it's going to be just a complete blast down near university.
You know, CF could also stand for Correct Fred.
Or Correct Fred.
There you go.
Or Correct Fred.
Correct Fred. So what else you got?
Oh, well, I am just sitting here with a plethora of things. Today, also is the last day of the 14th annual Desert Bluegrass Festival.
Yes.
And that's going on. It's hosted over at the Ava Amphitheater at the Soul Casino.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. Bluegrass has been going on all weekend long. The two centers on a boys' course, Jeffrey.
The Ambassadors in Blue Jeans.
The Ambassadors in Blue Jeans.
Right.
The Musicale Regale Internationale is coming up November 2nd, next weekend, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helping them. Well, that's raising money for the boys' course. And I don't know where they're going this year, but they just got back from Asia, I believe, this summer. They were traveling around representing not only us here in Tucson, Southern Arizona, but, well, I guess us here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. That's who they're representing. People can't see you nodding on the radio, Jeff.
Yeah, I know, because there's really nothing to say.
The last thing, you know, the last thing I got, and we're actually going to be talking about some other things later in the show, but the, you know, we had Tucson's Poet Laureate on a while back.
She was a lot of fun.
And November 8th is the last time you can, kids from K through 12 can send in their poetry to be evaluated and win fabulous prizes. Now,
Remember our bet?
What was our bet?
Remember I said I'd give somebody $50 if they could come up with a poem about Fred that won the contest? That won the contest. Has to be a contest winner. Can't just, you know, once upon a time there was a man named Fred, a poor radio host, barely kept his family fed.
Yeah.
And then one day he was talking to his crew, and that's all I got.
Well, you won't be winning that $50.
No.
But that is, again, is up for grabs for any contest winner who wins.
Yeah. And Fred, and I take great, what's the word I'm looking for? You're wrong. You missed one of the finest things that's ever happened in Southern Arizona, in the history of Southern Arizona.
Beyond my birth?
Oh. In a downtown lecture series, 5 University of Arizona faculty members share how to utilize scientific research and ancient philosophies as tools for improving life.
Well, yeah, they're having like a happiness series.
Hello?
Well,
guess what?
That's on your list. That's not on my list.
Oh, yeah, here we go. So that starts, and I got to tell you, it's gotten so big they've moved it down to the Fox downtown from the U of A.
Yeah, now this is their annual, you know, they have these lecture series every year.
Right. Wednesday night started last week.
Yeah.
Actually it started the 16th.
Yeah.
And runs to the 13th of November.
Yeah, I went to the last one. It was really cool.
And you went to the last lecture?
On happiness.
Okay, the one just this last Wednesday night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jam-packed house?
Absolutely.
Crazy.
It's wonderful. And the cool thing, and these are free events open to the public.
Right.
And the cool thing is they then post the lectures online. So if you miss them, for whatever reason, you can go back and watch the series through the University of Arizona website.
Well, here's the super cool thing. So if you didn't know about this, you've already missed 2 of the lectures. And this last week on the 23rd was a lecture on compassion training as a path to genuine happiness.
Right.
Amazing. But the one coming up next week by Dr. Esther Steinberg is how our surroundings influence happiness and health. That's huge.
Yeah.
And you couldn't wait to the break before you put some in your mouth?
No, I could not.
Jeez.
No,
it's not the eating show.
I had
to go see Matt Russell for
I had a breakfast cigar.
Oh, good Lord.
And I'm just enjoying a little bit of chocolate that goes with my cigar.
Right. And then November 6th, David, and I'm going to mispronounce this, but I think it's Rashlin. He's also a PhD. His lecture is The Evolutionary Links Between Exercise and Happiness. That sounds awesome. And then the final one is David C. Russell's presentation, Happiness, a Feeling or a Future. So that sounds like a very big philosophical discussion that Dr. Russell will present.
Perfect.
On November 13th.
Now,
so folks, get down to the Fox on Wednesday nights to check out this fabulous, fabulous series brought to you by our friends at the U of A.
University of Arizona College of Science.
That's right.
Well, actually, I think probably there's some other folks involved, but those are the guys who traditionally put that thing on.
And we'll have a link to this
at friendjeff.com.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the interesting things about this happiness series, which I was very excited about, is we had Roku Bellick on years ago.
It was a long time ago.
And he's a guy who does documentaries. He's a director. And he created this movie called Happy. Happy the movie, and it was screened here at the Loft in Tucson.
Well, no, it was screened not at the Loft.
No, I saw it.
Oh,
the
you
Loft.
Saw it the second time at the Loft.
Okay.
The first time it was screened at the Gateway Plaza over on Grant and Swan as part of the Arizona International Film Festival.
Oh, that's right.
Then he came back. There was such a demand to see it. Came back again and had it a couple, three nights at the Loft. And one night he came and they did a director series with Rocco. Fabulous, fabulous movie, folks. And it's on Netflix. So if you get the opportunity, check out Happiness, the movie.
Happy the movie
on Netflix, because it's got a lot of the information that the scientists are finding out that make people happy.
Now, this is the thing that I thought was very interesting. For years, and it's explored in the movie, for years, the scientific community sort of rejected the study of happiness because they didn't, you know, they're like, happiness, who wants to
Well, they were always finding out, you know, let's find out why people are unhappy.
Yeah, they would say, well, we study depression. We study other negative psychological conditions. Why can't we study a positive one?
And that's what they're doing.
And there are many ways that they found that people, if they start engaging life in a different way, different perspective, different surroundings,
exercise, diet,
that they can actually directly improve their feelings.
Their own happiness. So, folks, again, it's at the Fox Theater on 17 West Congress. The day of the series, that Wednesday, you can go down to the box office at the Fox at 11 a.m. and pick up tickets. You can't get any more than four per person, but I'm telling you, they go quick. Wednesdays, and the lectures start at 6:30.
Yeah, it's
so
brilliant.
Get down to the Fox on Wednesday and get happy.
Now,
happy,
here's something happy.
Happy Tuesdays. That's right.
At the Loft. So this coming Tuesday is the Dead Comic Society.
Awesome.
And that'll be
Tuesday. A great segue into our next segment.
It is.
Because we got to pay some bills right now.
That's right.
All right, so folks, stick around. We got a lot more happiness here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Happiness. I found love.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right.
And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to this grand old tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Now, Jeffrey.
Yes, Fred.
Before the break, we were talking about the Dead Poets Society, or Dead Comics Society,
right,
which is this Tuesday at the Loft.
Because the other one's a movie, right?
Yeah, Dead Poets Society is a movie. So the Dead Comics Society this Tuesday at the Loft. But death is sort of a theme for the show today. And being the positive guys that we are.
Sure.
Death is not...
It's part of life.
It's part of life. There's some sadness involved.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of joy
May
and
I
happiness.
Interrupt?
Well, we're going to get right to you.
So, may I segue while
yes,
we're on
may.
This so, death thing?
So yeah. Nadia Hagen, who is...
Rhymes with Logan.
Yes, we discovered that earlier. It's genius in here.
Yeah, this is Nadia. This is you are in a Mensa meeting right now with the geniuses that are Fred and Jeff.
Yes. I can feel it.
We are the only geniuses on the radio on 104.1 from 11 to 12 on Sundays.
That's right.
Yes.
We're the smartest guys not in the room.
So anyhow, Fred.
So Nadia is one of these crazy, gorgeous people who plays with fire.
I do. I do that.
And you also help organize, that's with Flom Shen, right?
Yeah, so Flom Shen is one of the big producers and organizers of the All Souls Procession.
Cool.
And the All Souls Procession is coming up.
It is. Sunday, November 3rd.
Talk about a segue.
Yeah, we were waiting for it.
I'm just wanting to hold you in suspense. You didn't like that?
Please, don't.
Were you just wondering if I was going to completely lose it? Sunday, November 3rd is the big day. And this year we have some wonderful special things. This year, because last year, and to say it nicely, the beginning was congested. We are going to stage ourselves on 6th and 6th, right, by Miller's and Tap and Bottle, and we are going to spread our tail all the way down 6th. So this year should be a lot less congested.
East.
We're going to have opening stages, so we're going to have music and live performance, and we will start at 4 instead of 5. So we want to give people lots of time to show up, get themselves settled. And everybody should have lots of room to spread out and enjoy some of our special guests that are going to be joining us this
now,
year.
Are you guys closing the street?
Oh, yes. We close everything.
Okay,
that's why you have to give us money.
And I did.
So cars don't run
over you. I did.
You see, this is the big aesthetic goal of the money collecting,
is to keep cars
from smushing in.
The streets are closed starting at 6th and 6th.
Yes, they'll be closed at 4 o'clock, and they will be closed along the entire route. So we're going to make a hard right onto Alameda, and then we'll go down that whole pass till we get to Manning Way, and we'll kind of curve around that parking garage, and then we'll shoot ourselves back out to Congress, take West Congress, over to the Mercado.
All right. How long of a trail is that?
It's a mile and a half.
Okay, so Fred and I could do it.
You could totally do it.
Okay, very good.
You can always build a cart.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. We'll get
a
golf cart.
We have a little red wagon for Fred.
We'll get a golf
cart.
There you
go. That's important. And bring pillows and blankets.
Nice idea.
Okay. Stuff them in the little red wagon.
Nice okay, idea. So let's talk a little bit about the procession itself, because it's not very formal, is it?
It is extremely chaotic. And when we started, that was a really kind of a sticking point for the officials that we were coordinating with to make this happen. Police, and they were just really puzzled, why do you want all these people to walk on the street with you? And it's because we want to do away with that formality. We really want people to have this moment at least once a year where they get to walk freely on the streets that their tax dollars pay for. And I think that feeling of empowerment, of really being able to walk through the heart of your own city unencumbered and use it for the expression that you want to use it for, I think that is absolutely crucial.
Now, what is the expression that you want people to engage in?
Well, the main expression that people engage in for All Souls Procession, of course, is to honor the things that they have lost. And so lots of people will choose relatives, ancestors, but people will also get very creative and abstract. We had a whole crew one year that celebrated the loss of the grill. They all showed up in skeleton masks and had signs that said grill closed forever. And so when institutions die as well, then people can use that vehicle. And really what we consider All Souls to be is a tool. It's a tool. So please use it. If there's something that you've lost in your life, there's something you mourn or you grieve, this is a wonderful cathartic way to move through, to connect with a ton of other people, and to get to the end. And I think that for most people, they really feel better.
Closure.
When they get to the end. Yeah, totally.
So it can be anything that we've lost. Like I lost a pair of keys. I lost a girlfriend.
You know, we had a whole crew of people that had R.I.P. Pluto. They made these papier-mâché Plutos. Because they were upset about Pluto,
right.
It wasn't a planet. Yeah, so you had like a grandmother that was holding a picture of her grandchild sad, you know, this really intense kind of, you know, sacred moment. And then you have this guy with this Pluto, papier-mâché globe over his head. So we like to mix it up.
Wow.
It's
whatever
you need
crazy.
To do.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
We don't dictate your expression. It's up to you.
So has it always been like that? Has it always been that sort of polar opposite of... Like a
the sacred and the profane.
Tragic loss.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah, because what you grieve is what you grieve. That's entirely personal, but then it's also completely human. I mean, that is the one thing we all share. We are all losing this game at the end, folks. No one wins.
Well,
no one gets out alive.
No one gets out alive.
Yeah, a lot of people win, but you know, maybe you're thinking you can't take it with you if you win too much.
You know, it's just where we're, it's all going to, at the end, it's all going to be the same for us.
Right, exactly.
You know, we're all going to hit that wall wherever that is, you know.
Boy, that could be a whole show.
Hitting the Wall Show?
Hitting the Wall Show, yeah. And, you know, also with the whole happiness series going on down at the Fox this month, that's a whole new show. Did you know about that?
No.
The U of A is doing their big lecture series, and it started a couple weeks ago, and it goes till mid-November, and it's all about happiness.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to take our another break, super break, bottom of the hour break.
One last thing. At the end, people get to burn their, you know, write on a piece of paper, whatever it is they want to, you know, celebrate, give up, recognize. There's a big fire at the end and a lot of entertainment at the end of this procession, right?
There absolutely is. And let me just clarify that there is there are a whole bunch of folks from the community that volunteer to be ambassadors and attendants. And those people will walk through the procession and they'll collect prayers from the very beginning all the way through to the very, very end. So you have an opportunity to get your prayers into the urn from the very beginning at the staging all the way to the end. And then, yeah, at the very end, we will lift this prayer urn that's filled with everyone's prayers and wishes, and we will burn it.
Sweet. Wow. Sweet, sweet. Wow, wow. So, Jeff, we need to take a break.
We do need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about the All Souls procession. And then we have another fabulous guest. So, folks, stick around because there's plenty more here on The Fred Jeff Show.
Well, I died in the graveyard about 12 o'clock. Something hit me, it felt like a rock. I thought it was an outline around in the road, but it's just an old ghost digging holes in the ground. I said, wait a minute, boy, wait a minute, wait a minute, boy, I say. Wait a minute, boy, wait a minute, wait a minute before you run away.
The Fred Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Welcome back, folks.
And we're celebrating all the great things going on in Tucson, Southern Arizona. And today's guest right now is Nadia Hagen, who is with Flom Shen and is talking about the All Souls procession coming up next weekend. Now, one of the things that,
I thought it was Sunday. I thought you told me today's Sunday.
It is Sunday. Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday.
Yeah. Nadia needs help with calendar sometime.
Oh, it's been broken, Fred.
Well, anyways. So,
ruined everything in radio land.
No. So, at the All Souls procession.
A lot of our longtime listeners know that if we have call-ins, we're live. If we don't have call-ins, if you have to email us to get prizes, we're probably not there today.
Got it.
But we're still trying to fool them.
I'm adjusting. Sorry.
All right. So anyways, Nadia is here talking about the All Souls procession. One of the interesting things that you were talking about earlier, Nadia, is the fact that people can, mourn a lost loved one, family member. You had people mourn the loss of the planet Pluto.
Very sad.
Their status.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
I'm assuming that Tater Tots and Captain Crunch were passed out by the folks mourning the loss of the grill.
Twinkies are back.
Oh, okay.
Twinkies are back.
Oh, I'm over it.
But I'm going to be mourning the Pittsburgh Pirates and their loss.
We remember together.
It's very deep, you guys.
Right? Isn't that your guys' theme? We remember together.
Yeah, well, we like to come up with little snippets for each year.
Fred just likes being a little snippet.
Yeah, I am.
So anyhow, Saturday on the 2nd, you guys do the Night of the Living Festival.
That's a new thing, yeah. So this year we're going to have this crazy concert out at Old Tucson Studios, and it's being put together by some local folks, and they thought, wow, Sunday is such an amazing day for the procession. Let's have a concert on Saturday and see how hard can Tucson actually party. So this will be your test.
Is that starting? Let me ask you a question before the test comes out.
Yeah.
Is that in addition to the Dance of the Dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're going all weekend long. So when we say All Souls Procession, we totally mean it. So starting on Saturday, November 2nd, there will be our procession Little Angels, and that's our kids and family event. Then
Wonderful.
Put your kids to bed, then head out to Old Tucson Studios for Night of the Living and see an incredible lineup of bands, Meat Puppets, Deer Hoof, People Under the Stairs, music till 2 a.m.
The Satisfaction, Acorn Bacorn, No Bunny.
Right?
All
yeah.
kinds of fun bands.
No,
yeah,
Vox Urbana. Yeah. So, and then some 5-hour energy drink. And then you're
and some NoHo.
Yeah, and then you're ready to put some makeup on and get yourself down to the procession and leave at 5. And at least we have an early night for you. You can come to the procession. The ceremony ends at 9 o'clock, and then head down to Rialto for Dance of the Dead. Our headliners will be A Tribe Called Red. If you haven't heard them, they're incredible. We're so lucky to have them this year. And then you can get yourself into bed by about 11 o'clock.
That's awesome. And you've also got the Garcia Brothers down there. And
yeah, Dry River Yacht Club.
Yeah, all kinds of fun. Ben.
Yeah,
so
no
it's
sleep.
Really a whole weekend of celebrating, not mourning, but celebrating.
I think so. Yeah, I think that when you, I know for me, if I think about dying, I don't get upset about it. It just really gives me more motivation to think to myself, what do I want to accomplish before that moment? You know, when I'm laying on my deathbed, what do I want to remember? I want to be proud of myself. I want to go, yeah, I was courageous. I was brave. I tried to do these things. I don't want to be like, yeah, that was a waste of time.
Wish I would have done that. Yeah, no regrets. Good for you. All right, anybody you want to say thank you to?
I really want to introduce the special guests that we're going to have for this year.
Okay.
Do I have time to do that?
Yes.
Awesome. So
time's
we have
it.
No!
Just kidding.
Brutal. It's brutal here.
Who are the special guests?
So we are so stoked. That's the only word I'm going to use. California word. We are so stoked to have folks from all across the Americas, literally. We have A Tribe Called Red coming from Ottawa, Canada. And then moving down the continent, we have an incredible stilt troupe called Carpetbag Brigade joining us from Oakland, California. Keep moving south, and we have Danza Azteca Tonantzin, and they are going to do our opening ceremony. And
cool.
They're from here in Tucson. They're representing for Mexico. Then we move further and further south, and we have our very, very special guests, Huarasca and Nemcatacoa Teatro, and they are incredible stilt walkers and musicians from Bogota, Colombia.
Sweet. Boy, it's going to be a jam-packed weekend.
Killer.
All right, man.
I'm
so
excited.
Folks want more information.
The best thing to do is go to www.allsoulsprocession.org, or you can visit us at All Souls Procession Weekend on Facebook, and you can chime in and you can get a quick answer to any kind of questions and see all the amazing activities that we have planned, jam-packed.
Sweet.
And link, that link will be at friendjeff.com. And Jeffrey, my dear brother,
yes.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about some more celebrating some of Dead Heroes on the Fred and Jeff Show.
All right, so folks, stick around.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled out. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up in my mind to stay.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's right, Fred.
And we've been talking about Remembrance, the All Souls Procession coming up next week. And we're going to continue to talk about Remembrance. In the studio with us, we have Eileen Warshaw, who is the executive director of the Jewish History Museum down off of Stone Avenue downtown. Eileen, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Feels like home.
Now, you were back with us, seems like a million years ago, talking about the Jewish History Museum and actually placed at Tucson's first synagogue.
It is. It's in the
in
first synagogue.
Tucson. But you guys just last week, I think, or maybe 2 weeks ago, opened up the Holocaust History Center.
We did. We purchased the old 1880s territorial house that was the family of the owned by the family of the Carrillos. and we have renovated part of that. We will eventually renovate all of it, but we've renovated part of that to house a huge collection that we inherited of Holocaust memorabilia. And so we, on the 20th, opened the Holocaust History Center, and it's dedicated. It's a little bit different. It does tell the story of the Holocaust because you have to set the stage. But it also tells the story of the over 230 individuals who moved here to southern Arizona after liberation and became part of our community.
Wow, that's great.
It's amazing. When we first started this, we inherited a collection of a gentleman by the name of Gerd Strauss. And Gerd was a survivor who settled here in Tucson, and he was passionate about teaching and remembering the Holocaust.
Well, he was passionate about a lot of things.
He was.
He is responsible, actually, for helping a lot of our seniors in this community live out their lives in dignity. I mean, he spent so much time building elder housing.
Right. How did he do that, Fred?
Right. Well, he worked with the city council. He worked with the federal government
right.
to get all sorts of HUD grants to build all of these facilities. And he's a beautiful man.
He was Absolutely. A fabulous man. And he didn't just do them here. He did them all over the United
That's
States.
That's right. That's right. Nope.
And we have two facilities here, Covenant House and then the Strauss Manor down on Pantano.
Yeah.
And they're for elderly, for people in need, low income. And we have actually a lot of our older Russian survivors living in the Covenant House.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. He was inspirational. He really was. And if you didn't believe him, he'll tell you so.
Yeah, and he's about like, 4 foot nothing.
4 foot nothing.
And the biggest heart and the biggest yeah. soul and the biggest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And he just had a passion
he did.
For folks. And I love the fact that it's his collection that sort of kicked it off.
It's fabulous. When I first came here, one of the first people that I met was a man by the name of Louis Pozas. And you listeners may not know, the Pozas family started Payless Shoes. And I didn't know who this guy was. And we were at this dinner party, and I walked up to him, and brand new in town. And I said, and he introduced himself, and I said, "So what do you do?" And he said, "I sell cheap shoes." And he said to me, "And what do you do?" And I said, "I was the new director of the museum." And he said, "Oh, you're the one that's come to build the Holocaust Center." Now, I didn't know that's what I was going to do. But then he introduced me to Gerd Strauss.
Oh, yeah.
And it became very clear that once we restored the old synagogue and got the museum up and running, that was the next step. We didn't have a doubt.
So tell us about it.
Well, it's very interesting. It's only 402 square feet.
So it's
very
small.
Tiny. But part of the uniqueness of this first space, we will expand into 1,900 adjacent square feet eventually. But part of the uniqueness is how it has been designed. Because it's so tiny and there are no windows, because it's so tiny, it's like you're walking into and being encompassed by the Holocaust on one wall. One wall are large images of Hitler as a young man just coming to power. And along that wall for the next 12 years, it tells the story of what happened all over Europe. And then you turn the corner and come back the other wall, and it's light and bright, and hanging there are photographs of 130 of the survivors that we can find photographs of.
The ones that came to Tucson.
Came to Tucson. And Bisbee and Sierra Vista and Green Valley were all about southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And was there a common theme among those folks?
Just that they all had to have lived here and contributed to the community.
But, I mean, is there a common theme of why they moved to Tucson?
Why they moved here? I think it's the same theme that all of us came here. Most of it was health and weather. And many of them, the earliest ones, came in the 1950s. And they didn't come directly here. They would have come into New York City, Cleveland, wherever they had sponsors, the refugee groups bringing them in. And then when they were looking for opportunity, like we all did, especially in the 50s when Tucson was growing so fast. There was lots of opportunity. One of the first ones to come was the family of Newman, was his last name. I'm forgetting his first name. But he started the Myers Street Garage on Grant.
Oh, wow.
And we have pictures of the Myers Street Garage. I had no idea it was owned by a survivor and worked there. So along with all these names we've dug out of Gert's information are all these stories and how they contributed. The Langer family came here. They met and married in a refugee camp, Bergen-Belsen, after they were liberated. Their first son, Alan, who lives here in Tucson, was born in that camp. And they came in, and they became so instrumental in the development of Jewish charities here in Tucson. These are people who came in with nothing but what was on their back and ended up building a life and giving back. I'm sort of embarrassed that I haven't done more after I see what these survivors have done, because it is so inspiring how they've contributed to the community.
And so this Holocaust Museum that you guys have put together, it is to do that.
It is to teach what it was like before the Holocaust, because so many similarities today to what Germany was before World War One and after. So many similarities in what our world is like today. And then to show, briefly, but to show and teach the Holocaust,
now,
what happened.
When you say similarities to then, to the today, give us an example.
You mean World War II?
Before World War II.
Okay, you said one earlier.
Germany before World War One was an amazingly cultured, very wealthy, intellectual place. And then World War One happened, and the reparations made World War II possible. I mean, I'm not doing politics here. I'm just saying that's what happened because
it's history.
It's history.
So what do you? So again, what do you see as the similarities between then and today?
Today we have a lot of wealth in this country. Whether everybody feels that way or not, we are very wealthy. All of us are. We're very privileged, and we have an awful lot of people who are not involved, who don't know who their city councilman is, who don't know what they just follow whatever because they don't want to get involved. They don't watch the news. They don't read the newspapers. They don't listen to radio. They just have their life. And that's sort of what Berlin in particular was before World War One. And then World War One happened and the reparations happened and it became very, very hard. And it became, they lost their pride. The community pride, the country pride was really hurting after World War II. And so we had this environment where a charismatic young man promised to give back their pride, to give them jobs, and to get their country back together.
Right.
And everybody, Jew and non-Jew, elected him, Hitler. Everybody did at the beginning. We had no idea what the craziness was coming. We had no idea about the final solution. We had no idea what SS was going to be before the Nuremberg Laws started. Everybody elected him. So one of the lessons that we teach is that you need to be diligent. Youngsters, you need to learn the history. We don't teach history anymore in schools, not in any depth. You need to learn what the world is about.
Yeah, history today is more about dates
exactly.
And names.
Exactly.
Versus like how things grew and
right.
And
they teach you 1492. Whoopee. We need to teach 1945.
And right. So at the museum
we need to teach the late 1930s.
1930.
Right.
Yeah.
How we got there.
Right.
So this Holocaust Museum, you've taken all of these folks that you've been able to get information on from Southern Arizona, and you're telling their story.
Correct. We have their pictures up, and we have 130 of the pictures up. We don't have all of them yet, and that's one thing that we want to make clear. We're still looking.
So this is kind of a call out for
information.
It
absolutely is. If you know of a survivor that lived here in southern Arizona and you haven't talked to us, you need to call us.
Please.
We're looking for photographs. We're looking for stories. We're looking for history. This is our community history.
Right.
That we're collecting. And years to come, when you're researching about Tucson, if you're researching about shoe stores, if you're researching about Meyer's Garage and industry and ownership.
Or brake pads.
Or anything.
Anything, yeah.
You're going to be able to find it through the stories of those who lived here. You know, we know all of the stories of the wealthy people. We know about the Zeckendorfs and the Drachmans and the Steinfelds. We don't know the plumbers. We don't know the people who own the little store in the corner. And that's the texture of who we are.
Right.
So we're all about, our whole mission at the museum, the Jewish History Museum, and at the Holocaust History Center, is to save the story of our ancestors here in Tucson.
Which, you know, all kidding aside, is exactly what Fred and I are doing.
Exactly.
Is we're building.
Why do you
think
I'm here? Because you're so good looking.
Well, that and me,
maybe not Jeff, but
I mean, that we're building a digital library of a snapshot of how Tucson is, and all the great people that make Tucson a wonderful place.
Right.
And we didn't have this technology 100 years ago or 50 years ago to be able to do this kind of thing.
So we're collecting, you know, paper and pictures, but we're also collecting people's stories, and we do that on video. We don't tape it anymore.
So let's talk about that website, because it is a fascinating website. Tell the listeners.
It is TucsonSurvivors.com. You can go there. We're partners in this whole project with Jewish Federation. And you can go to that website, and it will be expanding. We're working on that now that we have the exhibit up, which was designed by a local artist and the son of a survivor, Gary Schwimmer. And now that we have the website museum open, now we're concentrating on getting all the information onto the survivor website.
And if folks out there have information that they want to share,
you just have to call me at the office, which is 520-670-9073 or jewishhistorymuseum.org, and you can connect through the website to us.
Contact you.
Yeah, and that link will be at fredandjeff.com. Now, Eileen, and we're talking with Eileen Warshaw, who's the executive director of the Jewish History Museum. One of the things, I'm assuming you went and visited the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C.
I've been to D.C., I've been to Dachau, I've been to Auschwitz, and I've been to Yad Vashem in Israel.
Yeah, so I spent a day when I was back in D.C. A while ago, and that was
overwhelming.
Really hard to get through that.
Yeah.
The images that will never leave my brain.
Right.
Now, how do we compare? I mean, I'm going to give an example, because you walk in, and there's a room, and it's just shoes.
Right.
And it's all the shoes that were worn by the victims of the Holocaust.
Right.
And that, just seeing that is, I mean, it leaves you cold.
Yeah,
now,
it does.
And I'll tell you what, I'll never go there again. I did it. I went through it.
And everyone should go through it once.
You got the message.
Yeah. You should. But this is a little bit different. I mean,
it is different. It is different because this is why we tell the story with the photographs. When you turn the corner, you see the possibility. You see survival. You see, we teach the lesson through the survivors' photographs, which are one long wall of photographs with their names and where they came from. We teach that even with the most horrid adversity, you can come through and be a contributor. You can come through and change the world.
If
you remember and teach. And that's our job. We're old. I am in particular. But we're old. We remember. And we go out and teach. And our survivors who can, I mean, they're all getting quite elderly now, go out and teach. It's the youngster's job to hear and to remember.
And how are you guys, so this is the first piece that you guys are going to use to put that message out there.
Correct. We've got 1,900 more square feet that we're raising money to restore and install more. And that's what we're going to be doing. It's part of our mission at the museum.
What you're doing is absolutely fabulous. We really, really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate the survivors who will share the stories. And by the way, I'm ashamed to say this is the very first Holocaust exhibit space in all of Arizona.
Really?
There is no museum in Arizona dedicated to the Holocaust.
Cool. Congratulations for being the first.
We're filling a need because of the big need.
I'll throw it. The JCC has had exhibits.
Well, they have exhibits, yeah. but they're not dedicated space that is absolutely positively only for this mission. Yeah.
Now, the thing I love about this is that, you know, obviously you can't hide or sideline the tragedy and the devastation.
And we shouldn't.
Yeah. Absolutely should not. But the context of this is so beautiful in terms of, you know, people are put through adversity from a host of different sources. But what comes out of it is who we are, the human spirit.
It's hope, yeah.
That's correct.
It's amazing. Viktor Frankl, have you ever read Viktor Frankl?
Oh, absolutely.
Man's, you know, search for meaning.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and it sort of is a testimony to Anne Frank's statement that I still believe that people there are good.
Are nearly good, right.
You know, and she's right. And isn't that a wonderful story, a wonderful message to tell our teens who think, you know, life is so stressful and we'll never make it through. And yet they learn about the Holocaust. They learn about that horrible adversity. And yet here they are. Here they are, parents, grandparents.
Who are making a positive difference in their community.
Huge.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for what you do for our community.
Well, thank you.
We really appreciate it. You're really one of the reasons that Tucson is a fabulous place to live.
Well, the museum is. I'm not sure I am.
Well, the work that you do is great. It's great.
I have a great group I work with down there. So, yeah.
And folks, please spend some time. Go down to the museum. And the museum, what's the address again?
It's 564 South Stone.
Excellent. And we want to say thanks to David and the folks at Zocalo this week for getting us some information to make the Fred and Jeff Show a great show to listen to.
Absolutely.
And Fred, you got anything else before we sign off?
We got a dozen roses to give away.
And the first person to email Fred at fredandfriendjeff.com gets a dozen roses if you say, "Welcome back, Jeff." And folks, we'll see you here next week on the Fred and Jeff Show.